Hi, guys. Hi. Welcome to session 54. This is alternative employment for PhDs and graduate students in classical studies archaeology. This is sponsored by the APA-AIA Joint Placement Committee, and in recognition of Ludwig Konin's contributions to our field by the University of Michigan, and Betsy Robinson and I, I'm Mike Lippman, would really like to thank David Potter for the unbelievable amount of help he's had putting this together and getting this organized, and we want to thank our speakers in advance, because this is really great for you guys to come and share this with us. I'm going to go over the way we're going to run this panel really quickly and go over like the rules. So we're going to try to do this. These are shorter papers or talks, whatever it will be, than usual. We're going to try to have more discussion than usual. So these guys are going to give about a 10-minute talk, and then we're going to have quick questions from you guys, like clarification questions. And then we're going to have a pause halfway through where we can have longer discussion questions. Then we'll go through the other half, and then longer discussion questions or what have you at the end. The idea is to get a dialogue going as best we can. All right. So if you have something that you think is going to be a lengthy response or something that is going to require a long anecdote of any kind, hold it. All right. For now. Okay. The other thing I wanted to say is that the panel is going to happen in the order given in the APA program. There's been some confusion. Okay. Everyone all right? All right. Then I hand you over to David Potter.
Well, first of all, I'd very much like to thank our panelists for agreeing to come here and share their experiences with us. I hope that you'll see there's a very wide range of experience and a truly fascinating group of people that have come together here today. The subject of this panel, of course, is one which all professional associations are coming to face, that in this world, people discover their interests change, their career plans change, their family plans change, and we need to be able to think about how to make use of the skills that we have gained on the way through in productive ways. Also, I would just like to say a couple of final words. This panel was also put together in a way of honoring my colleague, Ludwig Konin, who was an amazingly supportive and kind mentor to me when I was young and remains a very close friend today and is a kind of person who really put himself out throughout his career to help people look ahead and get on either inside the profession or with their lives in other careers. And now I would like to turn things over to Betsy. Who's going to Mike, back to Mike. Okay.
Now it's back to me. Okay. I will introduce our first speaker, who is Michelle Berenfeld, assistant professor of Pfizer College.
Hi, thanks for coming, everyone. It's actually Pitzer College, but that's okay. We don't have as much money as Pfizer, sadly, but... Thank you. So yes, at the moment I am on the tenure track in a classics department at Pitzer College, but I actually got my PhD in 2002 from NYU and did not get a job out of school. So I am one of those people who tried and was not able to land the plum job right away. And in my alternate career, which was not originally planned but did work out quite well, was in the nonprofit sector. I worked for 4 years, as it turned out, at an organization called the World Monuments Fund, which is an international nonprofit based in New York City that focuses on the advocating for the protection of and actually working for the protection of cultural heritage sites of all types around the world. And so I was there for about 4 years and began out of school as a sort of hired to run grant programs, basically read applications and organize meetings and things like that. But I firmly believe that the skills I had as an academic allowed me to rise quickly in that organization and end up being the director of initiatives and running many of their major programs, talking to the press, traveling the world, and things like that, which I really enjoyed. And I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second. My time at the World Monuments Fund also allowed me to come back to academia in many ways, because part of my work there, because I was actually rather engaged with it, allowed me to develop new intellectual interests and ways to show that archaeology and classical studies applied to the real world. I was talking about these things as they existed in the real world, and now I teach cultural heritage courses at Pitzer, and I did so at Brown as well. So I'm not going to tell you too much, because I'm happy to answer all the questions that you have, but my basic things that I think got me the job at the World Monuments Fund was having a roughly comparable academic background. But in truth, you know, I'm a classical archaeologist. I had worked a lot in Turkey thus far, and we had many sites in Turkey, but this was an extremely small percentage of the work that I did there. But I think this is something that classicists as well, you know, historians and philologists as well as archaeologists can think about, is these sort of allied fields that we have, things like historic preservation for archaeologists and cultural heritage and ethical questions. Now there is, of course, a huge interest in archaeological ethics, in looting museums and legal things like that. I worked a lot in that world as well. Some of the things that I worked on that weren't totally outside of my classical realm, but were built on what I had learned in school. For instance, thinking of these archaeological ethics questions, I worked on the protection of archaeological sites in Iraq after the invasion. And this I did for many years and was extremely gratifying. And through that, I met many people working in UNESCO, working in the military, working in the legal world. All of these things opened doors for me where people were talking to me about potential other opportunities that I could have. So I think that this is something that's really important that I learned, is that you have to keep yourself intellectually engaged and interested in what you're doing, even if it's not exactly what you were trained to do. If I had tried to only focus on Roman archaeological sites in Asia Minor at the World Monuments Fund, I would have not done a whole lot. I did get to do those things, and that was great, but I had to expand. Other things that I really enjoyed doing there, I got to work as the liaison with UNESCO and the World Heritage Center. So I got to go to UNESCO meetings every year in places that were well outside the ancient Mediterranean, like Lithuania and New Zealand. And I even was sent to Sri Lanka on my first trip for the World Monuments Fund. So those are things that I also enjoyed. Another allied field, which has sort of had a surprising addition to my repertoire, was environmental studies. And many of us in archaeology who work on landscape and things like that may be interested and have knowledge of geology, change over time. I ended up working on climate change impacts on cultural heritage sites, and this was by far the most impactful thing I think I've done even in my career so far. Is, you know, when I woke up to hear my own voice on NPR Morning Edition talking about climate change, I thought, I've talked to more people today than I probably will ever again in my career. And that they misused the recording and thought I was the president of the World Monuments Fund and corrected it in the next round was irrelevant. Anyway, so when I got that job, I got it because I had worked in other countries. I knew things about historic buildings and all that stuff. But I think what allowed me to succeed there are skills that every one of you has, right? Which you all know. Research. We're good researchers. We're good writers. We're supposedly, we'll say, good public speakers. And these are things that are incredibly valuable in the nonprofit world. One thing that is important to realize, though, is that people are skeptical about academics and their abilities to talk in public and write clearly about things that are not, you know, Latin literature and stuff like that. So I would say the first thing to do if you're looking into the nonprofit sector or the public sector in any way is to find a friend with a job outside of academia to read your cover letter and yeah, to cut your CV down to size and to move your PhD, sadly, not from the top, but lower down, and take Latin and Greek off the languages list sometimes. But you don't have to do these things. But just more importantly is that when you get there, you have to make it clear to them, the people that you're talking to, that A, you're happy to be there and interested in what they're doing, but that you're capable of talking about all kinds of things and that you're capable of being clear and interesting. And like I said, I was on NPR. I talked to reporters all the time, and I ended up doing these things because I showed them that I could. And so I think that's part of it. But I did regularly hear people talking about, oh, those academics, they would do that in front of me. And I would sit there and say, you know, I am an academic, you know this, right? But I also know how to use a spreadsheet. And so these things are sort of challenges that you will encounter, but you can preempt them by being engaging and clear. And I ended up, basically not a word of the World Monuments Fund publications went out the door without me seeing them at some point. And they did refer me to me as Dr. B in the office quite often because I was the only one with a PhD. And but I showed that I could write and edit. And everybody was like, did you show it to Dr. B yet? We can't send it out until Dr. B sees it. So you can make yourself valuable in these ways. Another obvious thing, perhaps, is that nonprofit people are always raising money, and you are also always raising money. So tell them that you write grants. Just say it. You have done it. I know you all have tried to write a grant proposal, whether you've done it or not. If you say you're willing to write grant proposals for a nonprofit, they will love you. Another thing in terms of any nonprofit that you are interested in, which could be something cultural, but it could also be higher education, and I know others here work in that field, language acquisition and writing and things like that. But one thing that is another aspect of the I'm an academic, but I know how to get things done, is all of you have devised a project and carried it out. This is known as project management in the outside world. And for archaeologists, this actually worked. You say, I managed a team of Turkish workers and graduate students or whatever. I applied for permits and raised money and carried out logistical and bought plane tickets and things. These are useful skills that you have. And even if you're a philologist, and you may not have been sitting in the dirt with 20 Turkish workers for several years, you have planned research trips and organized vast amounts of data into usable chunks. And that is something, again, all of these nonprofits are obsessed with their databases and getting new ones and figuring out how to organize their information. You all have those skills and can talk about how you can do this. You've planned and carried out both long-term dissertation and short-term projects, right? So these are all things that I think are easily applicable. And so I will wrap up quickly now to let you know that there's lots more I can tell you, and I'll be happy to answer questions. But the other side of the story is that I also briefly had a moment of being sick of academia and applied for and was offered a job in intelligence. That's another tried and true alternative career for archaeologists and classicists. And I believe someone else on this panel actually got the job because she, unlike me, passed the background check. So thank you. Yes, actually. That's another, I can discuss how I managed to get back in would be the other side of that. Yeah, they were.
What?
Well, she wasn't. She's the one that hired me back into academia. Well, because I worked, this is the other thing I should have said, is that I worked in cultural heritage. I wrote about cultural heritage and I became intellectually engaged in my work. I also wrote in my traditional field on the side. And so I was lucky enough to find that cultural heritage and the application of archaeology in the real world is of growing interest to the academic community, and particularly Brown University, which is where I got my first job back into academia. Thank you. Anybody else? All right.